Hey guys, Kevin Kaufman here with the Kevin and Fred Show, and I'm so super excited today about our guest, Mr. Phil Jones, who is the author of the best-selling book, Exactly What to Say. Phil and I had an amazing conversation. I know that you're going to get a ton out of it. If you don't know Phil, let me give you a quick introduction. Phil Jones is a best-selling author of the book, Exactly What to Say, Exactly How to Sell, and Exactly Where to Start. He had his first business at the age of just 14 years, and he's the youngest recipient of the British Excellence in Sales and Marketing Award. To date, over 2 million people across 57 different countries have been benefited, or have benefited, I should say, from his lessons. And as a result, they now know exactly what to say and when to say it, and exactly how to make more of their conversations. So you're going to love this conversation with Mr. Phil Jones. And before I get to that, do me a favor, pretty please, go over to ratethispodcast.com/NLA. That is ratethispodcast.com/NLA. And please leave us a review or a rating. Previously, we could only leave reviews on Apple. And now because of this platform, ratethispodcast.com/NLA, we can have reviews at other places as well. So please, if you haven't reviewed it, please go there. And now, without any further ado, Mr. Phil Jones. All right, Mr. Phil Jones. Phil, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, thanks, Kevin. It's a delight to be here.
It is. I gotta say, I was kind of laughing at how we got here. I saw a post on my friend's Instagram, Liz Novello, and I think you know Liz. And she,
yeah, Liz is awesome.
She posted about your book, and I'm like, okay, Liz is posting about this book. I'll check it out. And I commented something. I said, Liz, let me know what you think. And you went and responded. So, Kevin, why don't you tell me what you think after you read it? And so I was like, man, any author that will do that, like, that's a guy that probably read the book Crush It, which is obviously very close to Liz, like, is a man after my own heart. So I went and bought the book. But I must admit, I didn't read it right away. However, I found myself recently reading the book and was blown away at the simplicity and yet the very detailed and just the way that you deliver your message in this book, Exactly What to Say. And I've studied influence, and this is absolutely one of the best, if not the best, in the category. So I just wanted to say thanks a lot for writing the book and
Thank you.
Encouraging me to read it and give you my own feedback.
Appreciate it, my friend. It's been a labor of love getting to the point of being able to distill down like this giant quantity of work and thinking into such a concise little pill that is accessible, it's consumable, it's something that people from all walks of life, all different levels of experience in leadership, in sales, and in business have been able to pick up and take application from and pour into their own life. So it's a joy that every day somebody pings me a note that says, hey, stumbled on your book and here's what it allowed me to do. It's a real gift to be able to produce it.
It's very, you know, that's awesome. I got to say too, and you started in business when you were young, you were what, 14 years old.
Yeah. So 13, 14 years of age when I kicked off.
How did you get to the point where, cause you started building businesses and then you got to the point where you decided I'm going to share what I've learned about influence and I'll call it sales with others. Was there a certain thing that, like an event or something that led up to you making that decision?
The pivot from building businesses to then investing in personal brand and really being a behind the scenes operator inside other organizations. I've been entrepreneurial from the age of being a kid. And I think that was largely driven from, if somebody else can do it, can somebody else be me? And I would look up to peers like Richard Branson and be like, dang, that's cool. It's awesome. All these self-made stories. And I was taught hard work ethic from my family. I wasn't afraid of being able to push myself into rooms that were either above my status I had the ignorance of youth, I think is probably what I would put in my early years. And I would try my hands to all sorts of things of being able to build service-based businesses, add margin, undercut competition, figure stuff out, get things done. I had then had quite a successful corporate career working through some of the UK's biggest retailers. I then built a investment property business with a business partner of mine on a small sales team of five that turned over 240 million at its peak. And what was interesting in that business is we were about to sell it through a big M&A setup. And this was early 2008. all set up to be able to actually be integrated from a pension fund. It was looking beautiful. I was going to be cashing out in my mid-20s, thinking cha-ching. And then the economic collapse happened, and our business went from being a very viable option to having a product that wasn't worthy of giving away overnight, because we were linked to currency markets, lending markets. You know, you think if every realtor on the planet all of a sudden lost the ability to acquire mortgages and lost the ability to be able to operate in the currency that was beneficial for it overnight, and people locked down on being able to make any non-essential spending, we went from a good idea to a heck no of an idea instantly. And we were securing investments at 90-10, so 90% borrowing, 10% down, rates at 2.5%, benefits on a Forex exchange, that went to 75 down, 25% funded, 11% rates, and using a currency that was highly volatile. It was like, this is not a good idea. So we bought that thing down. And while I bought that business down and was wondering what to do next, Chambers of Commerce and B&I type groups and all of those small independent business groups that were in my periphery knew at the fact that I had some capacity and time and would say, hey, Phil, will you come speak to our members? Hey, Phil, will you come speak to our group about how to turn things around in a recession? So I started speaking for fun in those environments. And then they'd say, hey, have you got more than this? Can you build a course? Can you do like a longer program? So I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll do it. And then I was like, what goes in the course? So then I wrote my one-day program, having sold my one-day program, and delivered that to the first group that was like 12 independent business owners. And they're like, this was awesome. And then I did it again in 2 weeks later. And then the whole thing is just spiraled from there. And then I built a coaching business, a consulting business. And then I wrote my first book. And it has been strategic, reactive, building airplane in the sky, real-time growth, based on rolling the dice, listening to how the market responds, and then riding the market based on having aspirations, and then doing what I've always done is growing into bigger rooms by rubbing shoulders with people who are a few steps ahead of me in the same race.
I love that's an important thing to me. Proximity is it's one of my core beliefs. Is I have to constantly be putting myself around people that are further down the path that I'm looking to go.
And there's science in this as well, though, that you want people who are further down the path, but you don't want people who are too far down the path.
Yeah.
And I see this a lot where people are like, you know, they're getting started in business and they spend an exorbitant sum of money to, you know, have 90 minutes with, somebody. I could insert in any name into that block. But the point is the gap between where you are and where they're capable of offering advice is too big a step. What you really want is somebody who's you 3 to 5 years from now, who's you 3 to 5 years from now. And I think if you can keep chasing that, you get to rub shoulders with giants. Yep. And you get to be able to accelerate your own success from borrowing the real-time clues that still live in real time if the mentors are ahead of you.
It does. You know, it really allow, what I think is that what you just said is it allows the person who maybe you're the person or people you're trying to, I'm going to say catch up to, bad term, but trying to catch up to, if you will, to distill down to something you can understand and probably see how it works in your life and in your business.
And it's still real enough, right? That's the other thing, is it's still real enough. Like if somebody said to me today, Phil, I want to get started as a speaker, what's the first thing I should do? I got ideas and thoughts to that. But what I did like 15 years ago would not necessarily be the thing that you should do today. There are principles that can be borrowed for sure. But what you'd really want is somebody who was nothing 3 years ago, and in the last 3 years has built themselves into a prolific, that person can teach you more than I can, even though I'm further down the race.
Yep. Now, 100% agree. And what I love about that is that the advice that person can give can usually be so simple and or simple to understand, which is, I think the impact of this book is not only are that, you know, when you break down these chapters and you start to give examples at the end of the chapters, I love how it's, even though these are big time scientific proven tested concepts. Like if you've read anything in influence, if you've read Cialdini or whoever, you know the level of this stuff. This is ninja stuff level that you made look and read and feel like first grade level somehow.
Yep.
And was it a challenge for you to kind of bring that back for us?
See, what most people do is they want to teach a principle and then hope that you come up with your own examples. What I took was a counterintuitive approach that says, I'm going to teach you the example and you're going to discover the principle.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, the difference is actually giving people the tool to be able to gain the experience. And now all of a sudden they get it.
Was that strategic? Because you're right. That's the opposite of the most people's approach if they're teaching a similar subject.
Yeah.
Or probably most.
And I own my IP for my books as well. Why? Because they go against the grain of what a traditional publisher would want, right? Traditional publisher says needs to be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70,000 words, needs to have a thick spine, needs to have a hardcover comes out first. Needs to have an index, needs to have all of this other fluff around it. Why? Because they want shelf space in a bookstore. I've sold 1.15 million copies of Exactly What to Say, and I've sold less than 10,000 in bookstores.
Whoa.
Right? Just for context. So why would I make form follow a function that is irrelevant for where the market's at? Everybody says you can't make money selling books in bookstore in airports. We've sold hundreds of thousands of copies of this book in an airport. Why? Because it's a pickup, grab and go that you can read on a flight, right? It's form following function. So the strategic approach to being able to get this book to market at every level was, how do you make big ideas into small consumable bite-sized chunks? How do you then package it in a format that's accessible, that meets the reader where they're at? How do you create universal lessons that are as applicable to a first-time real estate agent as they are to the CEO of an Inc. 500 organization? How do you create examples that allow a mum to think about how she can use these to get the kids to tidy their bedroom, and an experienced info marketer think about how they can use this to sell the next seven-figure program? Like, how do you give stuff that is edited through every one of those lenses and still get served? Yeah, I could see that working. And these were all decisions from the get-go. And they're all examples that say you can only do that if you have the experience of being able to work with all those people.
Yeah, you know what I love it. You just said that is, when I read this book, I read it first through the eyes of a lot of what I do is recruiting real estate agents. So right. Very easy to distill that down. Obviously, I also run a real estate sales business. So for me, obviously, there's the advantage of with the consumer. But then for me, the thing I got excited about too is the example you just gave of how do I use this with my children, and even more so with myself. Because I believe influencing ourselves, it's kind of where it starts, right? We've got to be able to start to influence ourselves first.
And influence in conversation. And I really believe that our ability to make more of our conversations count is a missing skill that exists in much of modern society, right? They just don't have the ability to show up in the moments that matter, steer a conversation towards a predetermined outcome where both parties win, right? Like, that doesn't happen often enough. Is my thought always was that if I could create examples through the book that people could play with in low stakes environments. So if I introduce a new concept to you and then you could think, well, I wonder if that'll work on the takeout dinner that I want for tonight. I wonder if I can, you know, roll this into my next email subject line just to be able to see if it changes something. I wonder if, right? And you can take all these low stakes things. What you gain is experience. See, people realize that what they're missing is confidence. Confidence is often the missing ingredient towards any form of successful influence. But confidence can't exist before experience, because if it does, that's arrogance. Right. Is confidence is having the knowledge that you're pretty sure something's going to work out a certain way because you've done this a number of times in the past, that you've got the chops to be able to say, yeah, I think it's going to go like this. And if it goes like this, 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 or this, or this, or this as well, I'm like, I got it. That's how you get confidence. So I can give people the ability to gain experience of trying new ways of communicating verbally in an environment that isn't the next big deal, or how you can use this to be able to influence the greatest outcome that you're looking to be able to achieve in your life. We turn down the pressure. We turn down the pressure, we can ramp up the experience, we can increase the reps, people can build confidence, through experience, and then be like, this isn't exactly what to say. This isn't filled words, this is just how I do things. And I find it fascinating the number of people that have forgot where they learned something. To a point that they're like, no, that's just what I do. I'm like, what a great compliment. Is it's now just become their natural way of doing things, which was the gift. And the book is interesting. There's very little of me in it. It's purposefully been written that the reader is the center of the experience. It's not, let me tell you how great I am.
And you, I will attest to that. You really get that. I've gone through this book twice now in the last couple of weeks, and it is very much that. This is about, I felt myself thinking about the different scenarios where I would use, you know, you give these, each chapter is these different, I'm going to say lines, right? Or words or examples. And I could see where these would show up. And it's funny you mentioned the email thing, because when I shared, I was sort of mind blown, shared it with my business partner, and he said, God, these are great email titles too. And I, you know, he instantly went to that, and I was like, yes, you know, there's so much of this that could be used. And I love the way you kind of wrote that with the mind of, hey, let's do this with low stakes things so we can get those reps and build the confidence, because I'm a believer as well. Like, we've got to have confidence, and the only way to gain confidence is by taking action.
Right. You want to master a listing appointment, at least master getting your spouse to agree to the fact that you're going to the Italian restaurant on Friday night.
That's a really good point and skill to have, that will definitely suit you well. I got to say too, not necessarily what I was intending to make the focus of this conversation, but as I was perusing on your website, noticed the children's book as well. And I've now read that to both of my girls. I love it. It's a great book.
Thank you so much. It's such a joy to produce that piece of work. And I did it without a single piece of commercial intent, right? Like this was during the whole pandemic piece. I found myself in some conversations doing training work in environments I wouldn't have normally done. So whether it was schools asking me to be able to interview about the impact on word choices and what they have on terms of bullying, discrimination, et cetera. And you know, I'm a dad of four girls. I've got 2.5-year-old twins right now. I'm nervous about what the world is going to look like for what they're going to grow into when so much is led towards self-service. It's like, hey, what do you need to do for you to win, for you to be great, for you to be able to achieve? Like, there's a lot of, you know, narcissistic tendencies being poured into what success should look like. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun if I could just raise the level of consciousness of our youth? And what's happened through the kids' book is I keep getting people reaching out saying, you know what, I've had some really cool conversations with my kids about manners, or about, you know, how what they did was hurtful to mom, or what they did was hurtful to somebody else in the class, and how compliments and praise and encouragement can help others to be able to get peak performance. And I've been finding out that school teachers have been using it to be able to teach collaboration and to help people understand about conflict resolution when they're 6, 7, 8, 9 years of age, which has been just a wonderful gift. I won with that book the day I got the first copy, right? The illustrations are magnificent. I wrote a 3-minute story. Like, the book is beautiful illustrations by this super talented artist. And I got to work with some really great creative people to be able to do it. So I call it my book, but you know, that took an army to be able to produce that. And all I did is wrote a 3-minute story for kids, but they brought it to life with color and animation, and all the jewels.
Well, it's definitely been impactful. It's something that I've incorporated into my home. And one of the things I'll do too here is make sure that all of our listeners and viewers know, you know, can link to that book as well, not just the exactly what to say, because, you know, again, mostly, I love talking about business and lessons like that. But the reality is we've got to be able to, this stuff matters more so, in fact. And so that's, I just love that you did that. And so I just wanted to kind of commend you thank you for doing that, because there's not enough, there's starting to be a few more, but there's not enough really great books out there that talks to little kids. I've got 2 girls. And you know, both younger, and this is, to me, this was super important, and I was excited to see that.
Thank you so much. And I don't even know if you know, but we did this one as well, right? So I did exactly what to say for real estate agents.
Yes, I found that afterwards.
Yeah.
And so I ordered that along with a couple of the other books, and just started going to town.
That was such a fun project to do as well, because I ran in the research project to being able to do the real estate agent's book, is I just curiously approached the industry, put dozens of top performers in workshop environments to be able to explore the critical conversations that real estate agents find themselves in. And I did everything from, you know, big multi-agent brokerages to successful dynamic teams to solo agents to 20-year tenured agents to people who were in their first, like, you know, 8 weeks of being a real estate agent. And we just collected all of the critical conversations, all the points of friction, all the frustrations that the agents have. And then I rewrote the book through the lens of all of those critical conversations that show up within the world of real estate. And that was fun to be able to apply that very, very specific lens. And we added 6-7 other sequences of magic words and really dialed up the examples to make it tailored to that industry. And it's quite a unique industry, is the world of real estate, particularly in North America.
It is. You know, we have the thing is that it appeals to so many entrepreneurs and so many people that really just want to be their own boss. And the thing I love about real estate the most is there's not one way to succeed. We kind of get to pick our path. Some of us choose to be more of an operator or a salesperson. Mm-hmm. Others of us, like myself, choose to be more of a business operator and, you know, anything and everywhere in between. There's so many different paths.
And it's both the best and the worst business in the world, right? Why? Yeah. Because there is next to no qualifying criteria to be able to get a seat at the table. You can start with what is a round of drinks and a smile and a business card, and all of a sudden, like, you're in play. And you've got 80% of the industry that do next to nothing and 20% that take it seriously. And is what seems to be like an exorbitant amount of money to be made from doing not a lot. But for anybody who realizes the sheer responsibility that goes into helping people navigate what are some of the most complex, challenging, emotional charged decisions of buying, selling homes that exist on the planet, it's just a fun riot of an industry that is both beautifully harmonious when it's done right and the Wild West when it's done wrong.
Yes.
And, you know, I like anything that is organizations like yours, organizations like Curator and the marketing agency that I work with to be able to produce the book, things like this book that pour integrity back into an industry that doesn't necessarily have it in abundance. And what we are right now in, I think, in the world in general, but even more so in the world of real estate, is the role of the agent is now the most important it's ever been. Why? Because consumers have choice, and the consumers are not educated about how to navigate those choices. And the complexity of how to navigate those choices requires expertise and experience are things that we've been trained to forget are important over the last decade in place of convenience and price. Yet now the world's waking up and it's like, I need somebody to lead this. I need somebody to turn to. I need somebody to be able to help me navigate these complexities. And I think anybody who gets that now and is prepared to get into the mess and help people tidy the mess up and find clarity from mess is going to have a tremendously brilliant next few years in the world of real estate. But anybody who's not prepared and wants to just stand on the sidelines and load something up onto the MLS, cross their fingers and show people around and make the check, they're going to find themselves redundant.
100% agree. You know, you remind me, I've got a friend, oddly enough, has lived in the two places that you live. And his name is Adam Robinson. And Adam said to me, we had a conversation on the podcast, but also outside of it, just about finding simplicity on the far side of complexity. And I think you spurned that up for me. It's been a while since Adam said that to me, but it's just so true.
And I think in real estate and even through my work in the world of salesmanship, et cetera, is too many people make money the prize. And if money is the prize, money is also going to be the thing that's always in dispute. Whereas what money should be is the silent applause of a job well done. That's the other side of the success that was mutually agreed upon. Like it's just the silent applause of a job well done. It's never the finish line. It's the other side of the finish line that is recognition for the reward due to the effort, to the outcome that was created. Because of your interaction, because of your intervention, because of your support. And we've grown up in a world this last decade that people have been chasing dollar signs as opposed to chasing outcomes and forget that money is the reward for outcomes. So clarity of outcome is the thing that people need to get more skilled of being able to clarify and then set expectations, then over deliver on expectations, and then hold people's hands on the journey.
That's so true. I used to deliver a masterclass there the last minute or so. I think that's something so true, and something that truthfully, I think we could all, probably not just our industry, but all industries, just take to heart a little bit more and remind ourselves of that. And I appreciate you sharing that. Phil, before we wrap up, let me ask you, is there anything else that we haven't covered or anything exciting that you're working on for maybe in coming up in 2022 that you'd like to share with people?
I'm always working on exciting stuff, Kevin. And really, I'm a human being that's of service. You ask if there's anything more we could talk about. My guess is we could probably sit here for the next 3.5 days and not run out of things to talk about. Like, I really believe that was true. In terms of things that I'm working on, is exactly what to say is a book that's done very, very well. And I have no plans on giving up on that. Like, my life's vision is to raise people's consciousness around the power of word choices, the impact one conversation can have. And my goal is to get to 10 million people that have experienced and been impacted by exactly what to say. So we've got a number of projects that are supporting that next year. We commemorate 1 million copies with a glorious new hard copy, the hardcover that becomes workbook and allows people to wrap around that. I'm launching a series of guides. So I'm giving the book to people that have audience, and I'm creating and deepening the level of mastery in a couple of hundred people across the world, and giving them the ability to teach exactly what to say to their people, which I'm super excited about. We have the first group coming through that in January of 2022. I'm going to do a few groups next year that I'm going to personally mentor into the implementation of my work, to give it to them and make it their work, which is exciting. And they can deliver keynotes around my material, and they can show up at conferences, and they can sub for me. So I'm looking to be able to lean into that opportunity. I'm involved in so many businesses. There's so much stuff going on, but exactly what to say is like, it's like my fifth child. And I'm not giving up. Like, if I'm known on my deathbed as the guy that wrote exactly what to say, period, and that is my entire life resume and body of work, I'll take it. I'll do 1,000 other things, but if reputationally speaking, that's the thing that people know me for, I'm happy to stay in that very tight lane.
Well, when you go back to what you described as earlier, being able to distill it down to having winning in these smaller, lower stakes scenarios first, when you look at it through that lens, I would agree. Like, if that's the only thing that gets done, you've accomplished a lot. And I definitely would agree that this book has no doubt already begun to help you do that in a massive way. So, Phil, I just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your extremely busy schedule today to spend with us here on the Kevin and Fred podcast, and all the real estate agents and brokers listening. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here, and thank you all for listening. Kevin, Fred, keep up the good work. Thanks for creating, you know, more quality conversations for people to join through their earbuds.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Today's episode is brought to you by Kevin and Fred's community at eXp Realty. Learn why over 1,000 real estate agents joined eXp Realty last week. Join us for an informational webinar this Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Register at intro to exprealty.com.